As I thought about what to preach on this morning, I decided to take a break, at least for today, from our Lenten series and have us think more about what we've all been thinking about and experiencing in these recent days and weeks. And as I did so, the word that kept coming to my mind was viral, and then viral faith. And yes, that's meant to be a play on words. When we think about the fact that it's a virus that started all of this, a virus that has taken hold of and impacted people and spread faster than anybody can stop it, and it's now called a pandemic. But wouldn't it be great if we had a viral faith, a faith that just got hold of people and possessed people and spread faster than we could stop it, and it would become a pandemic of faith? And so I want us to think for a few moments this morning in just sort of an informal way about what is a viral faith. To do that, I think of two of the many passages of Scripture which could be used, and have zeroed in on, first of all, Psalm 46. I'll give you a moment to turn to that if you would like to. Psalm 46, a psalm not done by David, but by the director of music, probably a song that was sung at some point in time. Psalm 46. Let's hear this word of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Though we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." And then from the New Testament, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. If you want to turn to Philippians, it's Philippians 4. I'll read verses 4 through 9. And as I read it, keep in mind that these words were written by Paul when he was in a dark, dungy prison cell, awaiting the verdict on the trial for his life. With that in mind, we go to Philippians 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that through your Holy Spirit, my words will actually be your words. And each of us will hear the message we need to hear. Apply it to our hearts, that we might apply it to our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, in considering a viral faith, what is a viral faith? I think a viral faith is a faith on a God who provides five underpinnings for our lives and for our faith. The first underpinning provided by God is sovereignty. God is sovereign. If we didn't believe it before, we now know that our world is filled with trouble. We've lived for a long time with wars and rumors of war, terrorism, persecution, increasing incivility, and now this pandemic disease that has put us at dis-ease. Maybe Job's friend Eliphaz was right. Yet man is born to trouble as surely as the sparks fly upwards. But because he's sovereign, we know that God still rules the world. That's the beauty of Psalm 46. It states, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. And today I would add, though there's a pandemic, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, he lifts his voice. The earth melts. Remember Jesus' words? In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. As Revelation portrays it, Jesus Christ sits on the throne and rules the world. Martin Luther, in his great hymn, penned these wonderful words, "Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle." God is sovereign. The second underpinning of a viral faith is what I call sanctuary. Clearly, we're overwhelmed with so many different emotions, and many of our emotions and our passions, some good, some bad, are aroused during this time. And it's easy to be immobilized and rendered impotent by all of the sights and the sounds and the scenes and the voices before us. But we can be still and know that he is God. The psalmist reminds us, "Be still and know that I am God." The Hebrew for "be still" literally means enough. It's God saying, slow down, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Slow down and get with me. Isaiah said, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Fixed in Hebrew means to lean. To set your troubled heart at rest, fix your thoughts on Jesus, lean on him, make be still appointments with God. Read his word, talk with him, sing songs to him, listen to him. We've come this morning into a sanctuary. The general meaning of the word sanctuary is a place of refuge and immunity. It's a safe escape, a spot of respite. And here we're cut off from the sights and the sounds and the scenes and the voices all around us, and we can center our hearts and focus our minds and let God remind us to start with him. And who knows, maybe this pandemic will motivate us to recognize the value of being here in this sacred space together, plant within us the desire to stand more often on this holy ground. But keep in mind that if in future weeks we cannot meet together, it will still be important to make time for some sanctuary wherever we are, our own private sanctuary and holy ground. Giving God space always leads to holy ground, and the more we stand in holy ground, the more powerfully and effectively we will witness in an unholy world. Remember the sanctuary that's part of a viral faith. Sovereignty, sanctuary, and the third provision of God for a viral faith is security. Our American sense of safety and security has once again been shattered. We're experiencing fear at all the different levels of life. There are probably children who may have trouble sleeping at night. There are adults who have simply panicked. Some will not travel for a long time to come. The stock market will go crazy for who knows how long. But thank God we are secure in Christ. Listen to Scripture again, Psalm 27. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. The wise preacher in Proverbs 18:10 said, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." This all turns my mind to John chapter 14. This occurs on the night in which Jesus would soon be betrayed, and all that precedes Good Friday. And Jesus is gathered in the upper room with his disciples, and he's preparing them for what's to happen, and he's saying all of these ominous things about he's going to be leaving them and he's going to die. And the disciples' hearts are very agitated. How many of you remember the old washers, washer and dryers, the old washers? And the water swirled around because there was something in the middle that went back and forth. What was that called? That's right, an agitator. Well, it's like the disciples were being agitated. They were being jerked all around on their insides because this one upon whom they relied, this one upon whom they had centered their lives, was saying goodbye to them. But then Jesus said to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." He was telling them to develop a heart set. Jesus was addressing their minds, their attitude, the focus of their faith. I like how the New English Bible accurately translates these words, "Set your troubled hearts at rest." I like that because it points out that there's something the disciples can do and must do. It's not like Jesus is coming around and giving us a vaccine and he zaps us and suddenly we have the peace and we don't fear anymore. No, there's something we must do. There's a recalibration we need to make. Jesus said, this is what it is. Draw on your trust in God. Trust in God. Now, the disciples were good Jews, and so they believed in God, and they would think about all that God had done for them. They would think about the call to Abraham and how God worked in the life of Joseph, his intervention in the birth of Moses and Moses' life, his work in the mighty plagues in Egypt that led to Israel's deliverance, and the miracles in the deserts of the pillars and the cloud and water from the rocks and manna to eat every day. How he provided for Joshua and his power through Joshua and his covenant promise to David. They'd remember the promises through the psalmist that his angels would guard them, that he was their refuge, their hiding place, their fortress, their strength. The disciples would remember that God was all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present, that God was loving and desirous of blessing them, and the list would go on and on as they thought about why they trusted God. And then Jesus said it. You trust in God. Trust also in me. He was equating himself to God and saying, if you can trust God, you can trust me because he and I are one. And the good news today is we can hold on to our faith because Jesus is trustworthy. He said one of his disciples would betray him. Judas did. He said Peter would deny him three times. He did. He said he was going to die. He did. He said he would rise and live again. He did. He said he would go and ascend and be with the Father. He did. He said he would send his Spirit. He did. We can hold on to our faith because Jesus is trustworthy. We have security in him. Sovereignty, sanctuary, security, and the fourth underpinning of a viral faith is that God gives us strength. In times like this, we feel powerless. And we're not used to that. I mean, after all, we believe the United States is the power of the world. We're invincible. We've raised a couple of generations now of people that believe they can do anything, they can beat anything, and they'll always succeed. And we love the strength that this feeling gives us. But now we realize just how impotent we really are. We are not in control. We don't call the shots. And that takes me to Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. The Greek word for Worry or anxious means to tear apart, to distract, to come apart as the seams of a garment. It's interesting that the Latin word for worry suggests a violent agitation and turmoil inside a person. The Anglo-Saxon word describes a power of gripping a man by the throat. Do you get the picture? Anxiety and worry tear us apart. They create inner turmoil. They grab us by the throat. The truth is, anxiety and stress have adverse effects on our muscles, our heart rate, our blood vessels, our glands. Is it any wonder Paul says, do not be anxious about anything? Now notice Paul didn't say, we shall not be anxious, but we need not be anxious. Again, it's a choice we make. And how do we make the right choice? Paul says we can pray. I think it goes all the way back into the Old Testament and focuses in on a wonderful word from 2 Chronicles, verses that were used so much during the bicentennial celebration of our country. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. James wrote in his epistle, James 4, 6, and 7, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Jesus said, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. There is no greater power. Remember that our strength derives from prayer. Think about it this way. If worry does things to you, and prayer does things for you, will you worry or pray? Well, what would happen if all the time we spend worrying, we spend praying? Jesus prayed. His life was filled with prayer. Time doesn't allow for me to go through and talk about all the times he prayed before the critical moments in his life. But he prayed enough that the author of the Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 5, 7, in his life on earth, Jesus made his prayers and requests with loud cries and tears to God who could save him from death. Because he was humble and devoted, God heard him. And here's what happens when we pray this way. Rejoice, do not be anxious, present yourselves and your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That word guard is a word used for Roman sentinels who guarded the entrances to all critical places. So the peace of God will guard our hearts in the way the sentinels guarded the doors and didn't let any evil in. So God will not let evil or fear into our hearts. The peace of God will keep our focus on Jesus. Jesus is our strength. Sovereignty, sanctuary, security, strength. And the final underpinning God provides for our viral faith is salvation. The root word in the Bible for salvation is wholeness and healing. We need now to be healed, to be made whole, to be saved. So we have decisions to make. We must decide our priorities, establish what's important in life, make some changes, make some decisions, and we must make them now. Today is the day of salvation. It may well be someone we know, or one of us, gets heavily impacted by the virus. Some we know may die from it. But the reality is, we never know our final hour or day. James put it well, James 4, 13 to 15. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Do you know your last moment? Then now is the moment to decide. If this was your last moment, would you have some regrets? Will there be some things you wish you had done? Then do them. Need to spend time with your family? Do it. Need to reconcile some relationships? Do it. Need to be more serious about witnessing for Christ? Do it. Need to get right with God? Do it. Need to give your life to Jesus? Do it. Are you ready to enter eternity? Now's the time to get ready. The reality is all of life is preparation for eternity. The question is, how will you live it? You must decide now. Today is the day of salvation. There's an old hymn that we don't sing very often, but its words in the first verse are so powerful. Once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide, in the strife of truth or falsehood, for the good or evil side. Some great cause, God's new Messiah, offering each the bloom or blight, and the choice goes by forever, twixt that darkness and that light. We began our service by lighting the Christ candle, but we must choose to live and walk in the darkness or the light. Today is the day of salvation. What decisions and actions will you take? It's my prayer that you'll have a viral faith based upon sovereignty, sanctuary, security, strength, and salvation. Let us pray. O Lord God, to be honest, our minds are confused, our hearts are heavy, and it's easy for us to become cynical or judgmental, but we realize our impotence except for you. And so I pray that you will touch each of us where we need to be touched. Keep us wise, but keep us free from fear and panic. Help us, Lord, to be captivated and captured by a viral faith, and then may that faith go viral and draw people to you. Hear us as we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.